Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap. It's a non-serious time here on Eagle FM from 9:30 to 11, or aka more like 9:36 right now. It's 9:37, so we have 23 minutes to the hour of 10. It's a comedy time. It's me sitting here and going through a bunch of mostly newspapers and also both a soft and a hard copy. There we go. Problemo solved. So, my God, we have a lot of things going on both in the country and outside the country. Now, I'm not sure whether we should start outside and come inside or... Oh, okay. Let's start inside and go outside. As you know, the first one sounded very... not clean. Let's go with that. Not clean. Let's begin with me asking one very simple question. I don't know what the South African president has been, smoking. Whatever it is that he's been smoking, I want some of it. Because, it was, alleged that, according to a BBC article, Ramaphosa was calling those Afrikaners that went to the US cowards for leaving. Now, at this point, I'm like, okay, now I'm confused. I thought you wanted them to leave. Now that they're leaving, you're calling them cowards. Come on, call them heroes. Give them medals, for God's sake. Let's give them plane tickets money. Tell them, don't you want to leave, sir? It's wonderful in the United States. It's very wonderful. Now, homeboy is just there chilling and calling them cowards for leaving. I'm like, no, don't do that. Call them very, very, very brave heroes of, what now? No, we're not calling them heroes, that's for sure. But we're not going to call them cowards. Let's just call them a name that will motivate them to leave. Because, well, the goal is, that's what we wanted. First of all, we didn't invite any of them. And if they want to leave, we're not going to start discouraging them. Although you and I know that only the broke ones are leaving. The ones with resources, because believe me, I know. Even if I was a white guy with resources, on the African continent or whatever continent you know, I find myself, and I was told to go to a whole different continent to assume the status of all statuses, refugee status. You know, in heck, am I gonna do that? So, which is why to this day I still maintain. I still maintain that it's only the broke ones that are leaving. There's a very interesting Afrikaans word that is being used to describe the whole, the thing is, I can't say it here because I love my salary. And today is the 15th, so I'm only left with how many days before I have my salary again? I'm only left with 16 days, actually 15 and a half. And so, we're not gonna use that. I'll see if I can throw it somewhere on social media, I know TikTok is not gonna fire me. I know TikTok, current doesn't have any regulations on TikTok, so I'll just take it there. But anyway, I'm just saying let's not call them cowards for leaving. Let's tell them that, yes, thank you very much for the love of God. Whew, thank you, bye bye, have a good one. So, it seems to me like the South African, South Africans, please keep your president in check. And, before we send, before Namibia, before Namibians will come and, help you guys, put your president in line like we did last time. Believe me, it's not that we are going to come and threaten him or threaten you guys. I mean, they are over, we are just 3 million. You guys are over like 30, 60 million. So, we're not going to threaten you militarily, but we'll just threaten the money that's in your sofa. So, we've done it before, so we're not going to struggle because, well. Now, anyway, I'm just saying that can someone please steal his money or his watch or his iPad? You know, someone steal something that he owns so that he can have something to talk about. So he can just, you know, leave all these refugee things alone. Because clearly he's approaching it in somewhat very, not very interesting way. Now, speaking of money in sofas, let's come back home. And then let's come back home. We will talk about, for a while what's taking place here at home. And then, towards the end, we exit the Namibian nation through Botswana, and then we'll go to Liberia as we round off the show. So how are these things gonna go? Are we gonna come back from South Africa, which we started with, to Namibia? Then we're gonna, cook a little bit of Namibians first, and then we exit the Namibian nation through Botswana to Liberia. Why Liberia? Oh, you just hang around and you'll find out. There's a little bit of Kenya involved in there. I know, one is in far northwest Africa and one is in more like central East Africa. But both of these countries have, a few things in common. But we'll get back to that. The Botswana one. This one is going to create a lot of, this one is going to be, in the words of Comrade Deitunga, chaotic. Let's put that one there, and then we hold something here. Public entities. Oh, dear. Now, the way this whole money thing is supposed to go is, watching from Ongwe Diva, shout out to you. And thank you for tuning in. You see, the way this whole thing is supposed to work, especially when it comes to dealing with public funds in our government, the way it's supposed to work, there's a reason why I'm saying the word suppose, because it's not the way it's working. We have it written down, that's how it's supposed to work. On paper, we are flawless. In practical reality, boy, are we terrible. Because, every year, and by the way, someone check on our, on our parliamentarians, because the 30th of April of every year is supposed to be a due date for them to declare their assets. We're supposed to know which one of them has an iPhone with 2 SIM cards, which one of them has a Mercedes-Benz with 2 engines. Now, they're supposed to make all these things public for us, the voters. You know, we didn't stand in those queues for nothing. We stood in those queues so that we can, they can promote transparency. So, all right, although this one, okay, now the registration of assets, how do I put this? The declaration of assets, the new parliamentarians, you guys are to blame on, for those of you that did not register or declare your assets, you are to blame on that. But, on the public entities missing procurement deadlines, this one is for both previous and this one, but commercial.
Go big this Easter with extra low prices at WB. Get a 1 kg Yum Yum Peanut Spread Tub for $59.99. 1.5 kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $74.99 with Smart Buy. 1.8 litre Farmhouse Ice Cream for a sweet $39.99. 1 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $33.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 Sheet 1 Ply Toilet Rolls for $34.99. See all our exciting Easter specials at Vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. So, where was I? For the declaration of assets, if you are in parliament right now, you are 100, and you did not declare your assets, and the 30th of April is long gone, you are to blame on your own, on your failure to declare your own assets now. And, but for, yeah, now, but for your, you know, for the SOE you find yourself under, or the, you know, over or under, or in the middle, or the ministry or SOE that you find yourself over, under, or in the middle, if they failed to submit their procurement plans, you are not entirely to blame if you are in office right now and you were not there during the, okay, you were not there last year. But if you were there last year, entirely to blame. And for those of you that are not in office and you are here, but you were there last year, you are entirely to blame. What on earth are you talking about, honorable comedian? Thank you very much for the honorable title. But now, the way things work is simple. Our Ministry of Finance has a system in place on how to make sure that, one of their sole responsibility is to distribute money to different SOEs and different ministries before the next financial year. Now, the first thing they have to, every financial year, yeah, they have to do that every financial year. Now, this is the Ministry of Finance in charge of the country's money. What they do is not just hand over money like, to every SOE or ministry that's asking, just by scratching their heads. No, there's a asking procedure in place. Step one, figure out what you need. Step two, write it down and then, submit your written, submit your written documents of what you need to the Ministry of Finance, specifically the Directorate of Procurement Policy Unit. Now, those guys will ask you, first of all, whether you're an SOE or a ministry. You will have to, after you submit your documents with them and they are okay with it, they will tell you to put it on your website and I think also in the newspaper for everyone to have access to it. Which is why every website of a ministry or SOE that you visit, there's a procurement section. When you click on that procurement section, that's where you're supposed to see what this SOE or this ministry is planning on buying the next year, or maybe they are, and also some of them that I've seen have their previous procurement plans. What they procured and which year and how much was it, everything. And all these things are done for what? Transparency purposes. Now that we have laid that clear, let's look at how we are doing so far. Short answer, terrible. Long answer, well, we have it here. Now, shall we? Public entities miss procurement plan deadlines. It's like assignments, but for government. Not for university students. No, this one is for adults, those adults with salaries and the allowances of cell phones, electricity, food, maybe rent, throwing Kamboroto allowance in there or Kabenten allowance, 21st century, you never know. And whatever type of allowance, we're not judging. Okay, others look and they don't judge. Comedians, we look and judge and, the whole nine yards. Now, what is the long answer to how far we are doing as a country when it comes to financial transparency? Well, like I just said, short answer, terrible. Well, it turns out, our wonderful Ministry of Finance here in the Republic of our wonderful Republic of Namibia, we have something called e-procurement. Yeah, e-procurement system. Yeah, e-procurement client system. Isn't that just wonderful? Now, that is according to the procurement, according to the Procurement Act. It's just a law. Now, that's a procurement regulation. We want transparency. Now, this is for both the, ordinary citizens like you and me and those ones that are in power. Some of these, guys that are in power, they have their own money. So every time they buy a vrupa, if they are not transparent in a way that they are spending the country's money, in a way that they are handling a country's money, every time that they buy a vrupa, even if they use their own money, we are going to start assuming they are using the country's money. Now, we don't want to assume. We want to know. Now, for us to know, it's up to them to make sure that we have, you know, they have everything before our eyes. Albeit most of us are too lazy to look for it, let alone read. We still want to find it, you know, on their website for those of us that are looking for it so that we can basically come here and start cooking them. Now, first of all, let me just congratulate you for failing this miserable to submit all your procurement plans because, well, thanks to you, I'm now going to have a field day today, making fun of you guys. Now, some of you are parents with kids that are in university, high schools. Every time they fail to submit an assignment, you are the ones that are yelling at them. And here you are, you, with your old white, you know, with your old beard, or, you know, white beard, or even if you cover, you cover it with a gobleck. We know it's white. Now, this is you. You failed. This is your assignment, which you failed to submit. Now, because of that, those of us that don't have access to submitting these assignments and therefore getting, you know, the remunerations, aka the allowance and type of packages that comes with the job of submitting these assignments, we just say, you know, get the information and start cooking the heck out of you. Now, where have we failed? What is the long answer to how are we doing when it comes to public procurement, following the public procurement policies? Aka regulations of this our land of the brave. Oh boy. Here is where let's dive in now, shall we? A month into a financial year begins in March. Our national financial year begins in March. So, which is why, well, begins in March. Now, which is why it says a month. Don't say, oh no, we are not in February. Relax, relax. This is, there's a reason why it's called financial year, not calendar year. There's a difference. Really? I think there's a difference. Okay, you know what? There's a difference. A month into the financial year, the country still does not know the procurement plans for public entities for the 2025-2026 financial year. This is despite the Procurement Act requiring public entities, this is ministries, ministries, SOEs, and throw in the executive office like Office of the President, Office of the Prime Minister, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is, if you are funded by public taxpayers' money or public funds, then you are required to follow procurement plans. Now, this is despite the Public Procurement Act requiring entities to submit their procurement plans to the Procurement Policy Unit Directorate under the Ministry of Finance at least 3 months before the commencement of each financial year. 3 months before the commencement. They are supposed to submit these things before March 2025. For last year, they were supposed to submit it before March 2025. According to the e-procurement client system, out of 173 public entities with procurement functions, only 42 of them had annual procurement plans by the end of April, by the end of last month. 42 out of 173 have plans on how they spend the money they were given by the Ministry of Finance. Now, the rest are still crossing their fingers and hoping, what should we buy? No wonder we use most of this money to buy Vrupas, because for one, we don't plan for any of it. We just receive money from the Ministry of Finance. That's when we're like, right, what should we buy? I mean, I walked by town, you know, I was in Groove Mall, or Maroa Mall this other day, and I saw an iPhone. I wonder if I can put on an extra SIM card slot. I mean, I'm gonna go shopping on this one. Yeah, well, there's this new Vrupa I saw at MNZ. I mean, I'll just, you know, swing by and see if I can get me one. Now, this one. This is coming from institutions that are ran by I know. It is interesting. This is coming from institutions that are ran by parents with kids in universities. Every time their kids in universities fail to submit assignments, the very same parents start going, "Hey, yo, you are lazy. I'm not paying all this money for nothing. You know, all this money that I'm spending on you and yet you're failing to submit your assignment." Aha! Now it's our turn. Parents. What the heck is going on here? At this point, the Ministry of Finance is allowed to go from one SOE to another, you know, of course those that fail to submit their procurement plans, and one executive office to another, and start telling them, why am I giving you guys money if you are not giving me plans? Actually, on this one, we have to yell at the Ministry of Finance. How the heck are you guys giving money to people without plans? This is just a question at the top. Look, I'm a comedian. I'm not a financial expert. But I would think that before you give people money, they're supposed to give you their plans of what they are going to use the money for. At least that's according to the Procurement Act. Now, if we have numbers like this, out of 173 public entities, only 42 of them submitted their procurement plans, before April. In case you missed it like I did in the beginning, April is after March. So that means even those ones that submitted, in April, it's like submitting an assignment 3 days after the due date. Now, here's the problem. Out of these 42 that submitted their procurement plans, only 5 submitted the procurement plans before the due date. Man, these guys are terrible. Now, imagine if these were students in the university. These guys would be failing. What's the opposite of passing with flying colors? Okay, these guys will be failing with crawling colors. Out of 173 public entities, only 42 submitted their procurement plans. Out of those 42, only 5 submitted before the due date. Holy cow! And yet, as a small business owner, just miss one day of paying any levies, whether it's Social Security, NAMRA, or any of the Inland Revenue, and those guys are at your door. Oh yeah. Before we call the Red Force. Oh yeah, bring our money. But these guys are just chilling there like, at this point, I'm tempted to give my own suggestion. How about we take the procurement plan and give it to NAMRA? Because the Procurement Policy Unit, we take it from the Ministry of Finance and we give it to NAMRA. I'm right.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of.
Yeah, the time is 10 o'clock on the dot, and I'm still here just making fun of my leaders. You know, one thing I like about our country, this is not the first time I have cooked these guys on this subject. Actually, I have an entire comedy script written on the subject of of financial reporting. This is a disaster in our country. We are talking from regional authorities to ministries, executive offices of the president and the prime minister. We have been, we have been, how do I put this? We have been terrible at this whole financial reporting thing. Like for a while now. From a regional level all the way to the executive offices. What are we going to do to solve this problem? I don't know. That's for someone who is being paid to figure it out. I'm just being paid to cook those that fail to do it. The one who is paid to figure it out how to solve this problem, that's on them. Like seriously. Eagle FM just pays me to make fun of them when they fail to do it. So every time they fail to do it, they are creating more content for me. I mean, if all 173 of them, them submitted their procurement plans on time, I think I would have a very boring day today. But because they failed, congratulations, guys. May you continue failing so I can, continue making fun of you guys and, continue making more money. I mean, actually, in a way, by failing to follow the procurement plans in, to submit your procurement plans, you guys are creating employment for me. I didn't look at it that way. Now that I have looked at it that way, guys, congratulations on failing. May you continue failing. Thank you. Moving on. Oh, what sorcery is this? Now, where was I? Now, oh yeah, here. This I already went through. That out of the 42 that submitted their procurement plans, only 5 were submitted to the procurement policy unit on time before the end of December 2024. When procurement plans are delayed, when procurement plans are delayed or not publicly or not publicly accessible, because they are required also by, they are not only required by the ministry, and this also includes, by the way, the Ministry of Finance itself. They are not only required to submit their procurement plans to the procurement policy unit. They are also required to make those procurement plans publicly available, publicly accessible by you and me on their website under procurement section on each and every on every website of every ministry, executive office, or SOE. The only problem is, turns out, if you are a student in university and you fail to submit an assignment, worry not, my dear, my young, come on, 2K, my young students still trying to carve their way through life. For you are not the only one to fail to submit something that is required of you to submit. There are people that are literally paid to submit this stuff and they fail to submit it. Like, at this point, why are we paying you? This one of those things that makes me go like, maybe this whole live stream thing was not a good idea. Because after this, I'm never getting a job in the government office now, am I? Hallelujah. Elijah, I'll just sit there and tell them, you know what? When I was cooking you guys, I was, how do I put this? I thought comedy will work out, but now that it has failed, can I have a job, Namra, please? Thank you very much. That's actually the reason why I don't like to make fun of the Ministry of Justice and the Ombudsman and the all the ministries that have to do with my field of study. I don't like making fun of those guys because the rest we can go. But these ones, now on this one, it's one of those things that is making me begin to appreciate, begin to appreciate the level of transparency we have in this country. Because, maybe not. Transparency is a little bit of an overstretch. More like the freedom of speech. Because, you know, as someone that makes, you know, as someone who is part of the entertainment industry, I make fun of our politicians, like literally all of them. I swear, my favorite was Bundle of Joy, but then the ruling party decided to be an enemy of my progress. They did not include him on the next, you know, they decided that the pot spits him out. But on the bright side, I'm still left with Franz Kapofi. You know, I'm still good with that. And, you know, but Bundle of Joy was my favorite. Now, I don't know, I don't even know where Homeboy is hiding. So that is what is going on in the procurement planning. The guys, you know, from a lot of ministries. Now, this usually comes out of, comes out of the IPPR, you know, the institution, what's IPPR, Institute of Public Policy Research. Now, one thing I like about those guys is they list down all the procurement, all the executive offices, all the ministries and all SOEs. And then they indicate who failed to submit and who submitted and when. That's what they did for the 2021, 2022, 2023. Yeah, those ones. I went through them. And now for the 2021 to 2023, somewhere there was one that was so terrible, even the Ministry of Finance itself failed to follow its own rules. But my favorite part is they were so transparent to sharing at sharing their information with the Institute of Public Policy Research that they went like, well, we know very well that on a list of institutions that failed to submit their procurement plans, we also failed. And right here on this list is, here we are. We also failed. And some of the ministries, their websites were not working. Oh no, from here, I'm headed straight to their office. No, you can find that on their website. Thanks to technology. So tomorrow morning, we're starting with who failed to submit and who didn't. Guys, please laugh at my jokes and pay for them because, hey, I'm worried, I'm worried for my future. Because these guys, every time I show, imagine me showing up for a job interview and one thing that I get a lot is that, when I keep quiet, I'm good. When I start talking, that's when people start going, you sound familiar. Now, that you sound familiar is how I know, oh boy, I'm cooked. Now, because since I started the whole live stream thing, people these days, and so far I've not been punched in the face, so thank you very much. So I'm not saying punch me in the face, for the love of God, please don't. For the sake of my teeth, I talk for a living. For me to pronounce words like words seriously, you know, sweetheart, I need my front teeth. Without them, it will be seriously, words, sweetheart, and I don't want to be that guy. Thank you. Now that we have that out of the way, this procurement plans, SOEs, ministries, executive offices. For those of you that submitted, congratulations. For those of you that failed, we shall meet again tomorrow. There you go. Now let's come to the next part after the break. The next part is about discovery. You know, we are using, the British, the doctrine of discovery. That's not a British, the British didn't coin that. The Vatican City coined that term and then gave it to the Portuguese. Which is why the Spanish, and also they gave it to the Spanish. Which is why, some explorers that were funded by is either the Spanish or the Italian, Christopher Columba guys, they discovered. Now, you see, discovered was a white people way of saying, of trying to say, we don't want to admit that we stole, but we did. So we just find a different way to call it. We discovered. We are not colonizing, we are civilizing you. There's a difference. We are not stealing your stuff. We are not stealing your artifacts. No, we are collecting them. It's not a thief. No, it's a collector, art collector. It's not a colonizer. No, it's an explorer. He's discovering. He's not colonizing. No, he's an explorer. he's discovering, that's a fancy way of saying stealing, and he's also, you know, he's not colonizing. Mm-mm. He's civilizing. He's civilizing by doing the most uncivilized thing under the sun. I thought English was your language. But anyway, so the whole, you know, the whole word discovery or civilizing, you know, okay, let's start with discovery. The whole, you know, the whole, you know, more like, not misnomer, like intentional, okay, accidentally on purpose, twisting of the word discovery, which basically meant stealing. They were not discovering anything. They, you know, I mean, they were stealing. Let's face it. No one discovers a land full of people. Like, seriously. There are people there. They're the ones that gave you food, you idiot. And you went to a foreign land, you met people, they gave you water, they gave you food, and then you discovered their land. So no one has ever been here before. I'm the first one. Are you high? But, you know, let's stick to the word discovery. Let's stick, you know, let's borrow the, you know, the, the Vatican word for discovery. Oh, right. I feel like I have to explain this part. Well, in, you know, in, 1450, okay, let's just run through this. 1450, the, you know, the Portuguese wanted to expand their colonial empire in way, you know, in modern, in, you know, in West Africa, aka modern day Guinea. And what happened, what happened was, because the king, King Alfonso V at the time did not have the power to carry out such an expansion without getting, you know, religious authority of whether what he was doing was, allowed by the big guy upstairs or not. So to seek his, you know, religious authority, he decided to go to the Vatican, and he was given a series of documents called, Doctrine of Discoveries, giving him a green light to go and, and explore and discover. Just put in mind, my favorite part about that is that, this is taking place in the 1400s. Now, in the 1500s, King Henry VIII, yeah, that was in the 1500s, right? King Henry VIII, goes to the same religious authority to look for, to ask for a permission to divorce his wife. And the same authority is like, no, you know what? The big guy upstairs is against you divorcing your wife. If you are married, you are not, you know, you are married for good. This one is, you know, this one is not on me. According to the big guy upstairs, if you are married, you are married forever and ever. He really hates divorce. Now, 1480, 1490, the Spanish went to the same authority again. Can we colonize South America? And the same authority was like, no, as long as you are not divorcing your wife. Divorcing your wife, the big guy upstairs hates it. Colonizing, subjugating people, big guy upstairs is okay with it. Go ahead. You see, this is why I don't blame atheists, because some of these things, the math stops mathing as soon as you read too much into it. But anyway, let's get back to Namibia. Can you imagine a god who hates divorce but he's okay with colonizing? Like, what the heck? Anyway, let's go to Zambezi region now, shall we? Ekesa di Grootman. That, you know, be here ever since. I like a combination of English, Pidgin, and Afrikaans. Ekesa de Grootman, that, you know, be here ever since. East of an Eagle FM. Former Katima traffic officer charged with a 750 fine discovery. Replace the word discovery with theft every time, you know, we don't want to use the word theft. Theft is such a dirty word. So, this was, put together by a bunch of guys that gave us the language that we are speaking right now. So, A former Katima Mlilo Town Council traffic officer was granted bail of 8,000 in Katima Mlilo Magistrate Court yesterday for allegedly discovering 750 from cash she had. Ladies, yeah, bravo. Oh no, you are still not disappointing me. But this discovery took place, when was that? I think it was in 2020, yeah. This discovery took place in 2020. And you have to understand, 2020 was a tough time, people. Was a, you know, tough time. So, now, according to this story, a certain individual, you know, road user, supposedly violated, certain traffic laws. Which one, you know, we'll never know. And then the traffic officer here, madam traffic officer here, was there to witness the violation of this traffic law, and because she's a traffic law enforcement agent, she decided to make sure that Namibian roads are as safe as possible by, by punishing the road user for violating the said traffic laws. How was homeboy punished? By paying a $2,000 fine. Now, because this was a law-abiding citizen, the individual decided to pay the $2,000 fine. You know, gave it into the hands of, like, how the heck is this working anyway? I thought they're supposed to pay all these fines at the traffic court. You know, well, according to this story, the road user gave the money to the said traffic officer. Now, the traffic officer decided to discover $750 from the money, decided to, the story is, allegedly, the traffic officer issued a fine of $2,000 in March of 2020, but only handed about 750 of, 750 of the 1,500. Of the 1,500, the offender was able to pay over the, over to the council. Oh, now I get it. It was the receiver of the money that, discovered a proportion of it, and then decided to pay some of it, and then there were also a few document forgery, so that those documents can match the, can match all protocol observed. Please don't start. Anyway, thank you very much for observing the protocol. Anyway, someone was discovered, and now, she decided to discover, some of the money and only submitted 750 of the 1,500 that was paid. Like, this was during COVID-19, guys. The finances were very tough at this point. Very tough. y'all are forgetting that. Oh no, Fish Rot was way before that. Now, how did we come to know about this information? Well, the anti-corruption spokesperson Josephina Ngituamata said the arrest follows a whistleblower complaint with allegations arising that the officer altered the official receipt book and changed both the amount and the trial date on the ticket in an attempt to mislead the authorities. Obstruction of justice, check. The three charges she is facing, ladies, I mean, like I said yesterday, when you guys were slowly taking over power, I thought you will be so perfect, you will not create content for me, but I mean, this is the second day I'm congratulating you guys for giving me so much content. The three charges she is facing are corruptly using office for personal gratification, forgery, and money laundering. Jesu! Now, she opted to apply for a legal aid. Oh, she's cooked. Very, very, very much. Actually, she's not. She's kapanad. Legal aid. Guys, if you're going to steal money, make sure you steal enough to have enough money for a lawyer. Because if you just steal some of these small amounts, and you are relying on legal aid, with all due respect to legal aid, you know, just in case I find myself in legal trouble, I may have to complete an application form. I don't want them saying, ha, so it's you. And then you show up to court and then, you know, my lawyer from legal aid just stands up and is like, Your Honor, without wasting the court's time, my client is guilty as charged. He's guilty as a heck. Actually, capital punishment. Bring back death sentence. You guys are not gonna do that, right? Just, you know, just checking. So, a discovery of, a certain amount of money from a traffic fine. Seriously? This is why I keep saying Zambezians and Kavangos, this whole stealing thing is not ours, guys. Because when you read stories of, you know, of stealing taking place, in other regions, I don't want to mention commerce. you hear a lot of, a lot of money being stolen. And then you read stories of, then you get stories of people stealing money in Zambezi and Kavango. Like in Kavango, by the love of God. Oh, okay. let's stick to what we are good at. My recommendation is, unless you have Vambo friends, don't steal anything. You know, in the very same way that, unless you have Damar and colored friends, don't plan on sticking anyone. You're not going to be successful. Like, there's a creativity to sticking you have to master by chilling out with, you know, a bunch of. I'm just making sure that all the doors are locked. Yeah, I mean. Now, in the very same way that, if you want to find the creative way to eat meat, you may want to surround yourself with Herero friends. Like, there's a reason why we are diverse, guys. We are diverse, so we each have our own talents, so we can learn from each other. What are you talking about? Here's the thing. What's that? That was Zambezi. This is Kavango. 87 kettles for the kettle. Seriously? That's the best we can do. Kettle. Now, this one, on the other hand, we had a little, a little bit of assistance from our northern neighbors. Angolans also participated in this one. Oh boy. This is showing the type of, interesting relationship. Now, the whole 87 kettle stolen in Kavango East, this one is unfortunately just straight at home. Mukwe constituency, Kavango East. I had nowhere to run away from this. I had to face it head on. You see, we are very confusing back in my region for those of you that did not know us. Every time you read stories about armed robbery, you know, armed robbery stole diamonds, armed robbery stole, rhino horns, armed robbery stole, robbed money at a service station. You know, armed robbery, a lot of money, diamonds. Armed robbery, a lot of money, rhino horns. Armed robbery, a lot of money, service station. And then there's Kavango. Armed robbery, 87 kettle. Seriously? Well, this is Mukwe constituency at a place called Dioa. So, if you are from Dioa, what's up? Hang on a second. Isn't that where Chekretoya is from? Don? Where's Chekretoya from? He didn't steal the kettle. I'm just saying, seriously, kettle. Armed robbery. Now, the thing is, this is where you see that, comedy is a Kavango thing. Because not only was a kettle header, one guy, this guy shows up armed to the teeth against one guy. Man, talk about being overprepared. But anyway, make I run you through the story now. Shall I? The Namibian police force NAMPOL in Kavango East region is investigating a case in which five armed men allegedly stole 87 kettle from Dioa village in the Mukwe constituency are moving out of that constituency, guys. This is, you know, this is not cool, you know. But now, these are not your ordinary cattle. There's a reason why these guys came, you know, came armed to the teeth. 87 cattle from Dioa village in Mukwe constituency on Saturday. The suspected wrestlers are believed to be Angolans.
Yeah.
You see, the diplomatic relationship. I mean, look, guys, when we talk about Africa Free Trade Area, this is not what we mean. Angola, this isn't, you know, well, Africa Free Trade Area, you know, cross-border trade between African countries. This is not this, the legal type of business. But anyway, moving on. The suspects are believed to be Angolan. Now, here's one, you know, this is where you begin to see that, how to put this. Leave me alone. You see, it is alleged that the cattle header who was attending, the cattle header who was attending, who was tending the cattle at the Yoa village was confronted by five men carrying guns and traditional axes. Five guys. As if guns were not enough, they decided to come with traditional axes against one guy. Now, my favorite part is what happened next. They decided, oh yeah, you know what? As you can see that we have all the equipments to basically send you to meet your maker. That's if you be leaving the guy. Now, here's what, you know, here's what's gonna happen. You are going to help us, you know, move this cattle from here to our specified predetermined location. So, according to Homeboy, that he had no choice but to help them, you know, drive the cattle. You know what? Actually, well, there are people here, so, you know, the best way to drive this cattle is this way. Now, at this point, a lot of people, as you can imagine, are going, ha! Okay. This is awfully precise. Are we sure this wasn't an inside job? Whether or not it's an inside job, it's an ongoing investigation. I guess we'll never know. Now, as for the cattle, assuming they have not been capanned by now, they are valued at, altogether valued at 783,000. Now, put yourself in this guy's shoe. You are just there minding your own business, looking after your cattle, and then five guys, armed to the teeth, shows up. And these guys were overprepared. The only way to explain this is either, I think the cattle header knew Kung Fu, or he knew some, you know, Krav Maga, Jujutsu, Aztec Warfare, some type of crap. Otherwise, why would five guys approach one guy with gun, not only guns, but also axes? Not ex-girlfriends or boyfriends, this exes, kamo, you know, the, you know, where, these are traditional ones, the one that comes in mpini, you know, what you call, you know, what, I'm told, what, is it mpini or mpini, that's, Rukwangari or Girigu, mpini, yeah, now you are far east of the country, northeast of the country. Now, what is the reaction coming from, I love politicians. What is the reaction coming from the constituency authorities? Now, reacting, what is this? A YouTube channel, reacting to the alleged theft, say 87 cattle are missing, you're still, you know, alleged theft, you know, let's stay politically correct. No, actually, I'm a comedian. Politically correct is not what I do. Politically offensive is how I get paid. Reacting to the alleged discovery, Kavango East Regional Council Chairperson and Mukwe Constituency Councillor Damian Mambai called for vigilance amid growing panic. Oh, seriously, growing panic. How many of you have 87 cattle? You know? How many of us have 87 cattle? some of us with three goats, this shouldn't scare us. But anyway, let us remain united and vigilant. Together we can protect our livestock, ensure community safety, and uphold our shared values of trust and responsibility. Yeah, what world do you live in? Because another story of discovery here. Now, this one is about vrupas. Hang on a second. No, those guys are not there. Unless you get to the point of, if you want to witch a successful member of your family, that's when they show up. If you want to witch a broke one, then be like, nah, leave him. Now, for those of you that are listening via radio, give us a break and just responding to some of my Facebook viewers here. Now, another story of discovery here, more like another statistics of discovery, albeit this one is of Rupas. 298 cars were discovered in 2024. According to statistics provided by the Namibian Police Force, it shows, show that 298 motor vehicles were discovered across the country between 2024 and January 2025. So, there are a lot of discoveries going on here. Now, as you can imagine, if you can just take these statistics even further, like trying to find out how many cell phones were discovered, how many TVs were discovered, how many people's wives were discovered, how many people's girlfriends or boyfriends or husbands were discovered, Gamborodos were discovered, Bentons were discovered by their girlfriends. Anyway, moving on. This marks a slight decrease from 379 vehicles reported to have been discovered between 2023 and 2024. These statistics were confirmed by police spokesperson Kauna Shikwambi. Now, here's some of these things that discoverers do with the discovered vehicles. The police spokesperson noted that unlike other crimes, most cases involving the discovery of vrupas go unreported. This is because in most instances, vehicles are driven without the owner's consent, aka discovered, while some are discovered and used as getaway vehicles and abandoned or found stripped for their parts. Hey. Oh dear. There's a lot going on in this country. There's a lot going on in this country. Now, so far we have just gone through the discovery of, of cattle, vehicles, terrible procurement planning by the state. May I point that out, by the state. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side, we are going to exit the Republic of Namibia now through Botswana and stir up some controversy, gender related, between men and women. This one is going to be my favorite. But anyway, and then we're going to go to Liberia, and then with a little bit of Kenya in the mix. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap Comedy Show. May I stress that again? Comedy show with Helmut on Eagle FM. Yo, stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Audio mnangeshefa no hara kushigifa oma kuroyo kupitira mohoriki radio station ayo Eagle FM enyamukuru olongaha ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano that is 0817147116 mamberewa konorahita tu natu bali oheta tu vatatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The Villager, wherever you are. Now, there's one interesting story coming out of Botswana. Pardon me. That is, DNA report reveals 70% of tested men not biological fathers to their children. Yeah. So glad I'm not in Botswana right now. Because you can imagine how tense this discussion is. Now, the thing is, this research was done by an organization called, I think a private entity based in Botswana called, Global DNA Diagnostic Center Botswana shows, Global DNA Diagnostic Center. Now, I think they operate global, but they also have, this one was done specifically on Botswana. Shows that 70% of men who took a paternity test between 2022 and 2025 were not the biological fathers of the children they have. Now, here's the thing. This have generated, this article is coming from the was put out on the 5th of May by Gabs FM. I think, a commercial radio station that's based in Botswana, a commercial radio station. This is not a communal one, a commercial one, the one that makes money by, makes money, how to put this, a private one, not one for the community, makes money for them to operate. They are not subsidized by anyone. They have to subsidize themselves. Now, this commercial radio station had one gentleman from the, coming from the Global DNA Diagnostic Center, Botswana, who was interviewed on the, on the station, and then, the gentleman shared this information. Now, it is stirring up the social discourse in Botswana to the point where a lot of people are calling for the implementation of mandatory DNA testing. Mandatory DNA testing to be backed up by the constitution. Oh dear. Boy, oh boy. Here's the thing. I know two countries that are very serious and very strict, having somewhat strict DNA testing laws. And one, I'm not sure about Israel, but I'm sure about France. They don't take that. They don't take that lightly. They will tell you, why do you need one? Why? Like, can't you just live happily ever after without knowing? I mean, after all, we are French. Do you know one of the stereotypes we are known for? There's a reason why it's called French kissing, because they invented most of it. Oh. Oh, yeah. Actually, well, they did. Now, Chief Consultant Tony Badola told Gebs, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Gebs FM News that out of more than 2,000 tests, only 30% confirmed paternity. He said the emotional impact on affected men has been severe. Badola is now calling for compulsory DNA testing, especially on legal cases involving child custody, maintenance, and inheritance. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, it turns out that if mandatory DNA testing was carried out in the 21st century, chances are very high that a lot of kids will find out in a very painful way the guy they call uncle is actually the papa, and the guy they call papa, you know, should have been the uncle. Maybe the guy they call, where is the security guard, is the papa. And the guy, the poor guy they call papa, who is always on a, out on a business meeting. You poor guy, he should may as well just be a security guard. But the thing is, look. This is not, you know, how do I put this? Look at it from the laws, the science law of, you know, how do I put this? The laws of efficiency. Not the laws of efficiency. Let's just look at it from the angle of efficiency. There is no machine that is 100% efficient. So the point is, if you do these statistics, or more like this mandatory, you know, DNA testing anywhere on this planet, you will be really shocked to find out that, some, you know, uncles are going to become fathers, some fathers are going to become uncles, some, security guards are going to become fathers, and some, you know, pool boys are going to become fathers. From a pool boy to a father, that's one heck of a transition. But this is something interesting, though, because they 70%. Botswana, I didn't know you all had it in you. I mean, 70% out of 2,000. I still have my math. What's 70% of 2,000? I swear, I need a calculator. That's how terrible I am at math. Okay, so... No kidding. So, what you're telling me is, out of the 2,000 DNA tests that were conducted, 1,400 of them found out that the kids they thought were theirs, they were not theirs. Only 600 of them went home saying, "Oh, thank God. Thank God that one fling with the pool boy didn't amount to anything. You know, maybe homeboy is just shooting blanks at this point." In other words, I think this is going to, at this rate, this is going to start World War III. I think what these guys are proposing here is a good thing. Just bring about mandatory testing when it comes to, you know, in circumstances like maintenance and child custody and inheritance. But inheritance is not going to count to anything, whether you are the biological parent or not. Although that one is going to stir up a lot of discourse.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice, so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always prepared.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
in a country of 2.4 million, actually make it 2.4 million, only 2,000 tests were conducted. 1,400 of them came out. 1,400 fathers were told, well, we're sorry to break this to break this down to you, but you know one painful thing about being an African in this scenario is because it's cultural. It's cultural for us for a father to be called to be called by their kid's name. You don't just go around calling my dad baby. My parents at the village, traditionally they are known as a Wiha baby, Nina baby. My cousin brought that name here. I'm here to murder him. And now the thing is, imagine going to a paternity clinic and finding out that actually the Nina part is accurate, but the Wiha part is not so accurate. Although my dad is not going to waste time to do that. Because if my dad went to went for a paternity test trying to convince the doctors that I'm not his son, every doctor will look at him, whether we show up at court or at a paternity a testing clinic, the doctors will just look at us and say, at both of us, and then they will be like, you people get out of here. Stop wasting our time. Yeah. I know, believe me, I do. The resemblance is remarkable. You know, the resemblance is DNA testing enough. Now, mandatory DNA testing. I mean, out of 2,000, 1,400 came out negative. You want to make it mandatory? You really want to find out that, 70% of your population running around with other people's kids. But one thing that I like to point out on, in these discussions is, whatever the result you two are going to find, leave the kids out of it. First of all, they had nothing to do with it. Like literally, they didn't have anything to do with it. Where they find out that, it was just a one-time thingy, but that one-time thing, the kids were nowhere near that situation. Oh, actually, they were very near, which is why they were born. But, okay, that's uncalled for. But, the point is, if you are going for any DNA testing, whatever result you are going to find, leave the kids out of it. This whole thing of hacking kids with machetes, just ask yourself one question. What is their fault in this whole nonsense that you two committed? Nothing. So, whatever you find, leave the kids out of it. And also, leave the pangas out of it. Go to court. Please, for the love of God. Thank you. Moving on, we have 11 minutes. So now we move, from Botswana and go to Liberia. One doctor in Liberia, after, practicing medicine for 10 years, this guy was operating medicine, was practicing medicine. Only this year, when they found out that he doesn't actually have the qualifications to practice medicine. He was practicing for 10 years. Come on, give the dude the qualifications. Now, my favorite part of the stories is that Bro claimed to have acquired his qualification from one university in the UK. Now, after doing a follow-up, the medical regulatory authority in Liberia found out that even though that university exists, it does not offer medicine. Oh, homeboy should have, I mean, bro was smart enough to operate, you know, to practice medicine for 10 years. He could not come up with the best lie. The university he indicated, that's where he got his qualifications from. The university was contacted and they were like, no, we don't give any qualifications in medicine. Who told you that? Actually, we are looking, you know, we are planning on implementing a medical field at our university. It's still in the planning process. And I think it will be implemented sometimes in 2026. Bro was like, well, I have been practicing for 10 years and I got my qualification from an institution. I got my medical qualification from an institution that will introduce medicine at their university in 2026. Bro has a time machine at this point. Seriously, guys, how can someone be smart enough to practice medicine for 10 years, but they cannot make up an easy lie like which institution you got your qualification from and whether or not that institution offers that course of, you know, that field of study? Well, one thing is for sure, Abraham Lincoln once observed that no man has a memory good enough to be a successful liar. That's still one of my favorite quote. No man has a memory good enough to be a successful liar. Translation, sir, well, the first lie is going to be successful, the second one and third one, but the more you lie, the more the lies begin to contradict each other and raise a lot of questions that sooner or later are going to lead with you getting caught. You know how, you know, we will go to from work, pass by the club, dance, you know, and groove a bit and go home and tell the madam that you were dancing late, you were working late. Well, you know that thing? I feel like some people in clubs are just the enemies of progress, especially women with red lipstick. You guys will be dancing, rubbing yourself on everyone and kissing someone's white shit with red lipstick. Like, what the heck do you think the madam is going to think? Even if you were dancing around in the club and someone kissed you 10 times on your shirt and also on the lips by accident, I'm just saying by accident, they kissed you with red lipstick by accident 10 times, you know, 8 on the lips and 2 on the shirt. May I point out that again, by accident. For the 100th time, by accident. When you get home, how am I supposed to explain that to the madam? You can't hide that from her. She's the one doing laundry. You don't think if she, you know, if my girlfriend is doing laundry every day and then I show up in the middle of the night and, I want to go and do laundry myself, she'll be like, okay, what's going on? Oh, okay, honey, I just realized that, well, you're doing a lot these days here at home. So I just realized that tonight I should help you with with laundry. But it's Wednesday. Well, yeah, I know it's Wednesday, but there's no... Well, we don't have a laundry schedule now, do we? Yes, we have. Saturdays. We do? No, this one is my favorite shirt. I'll wait. Okay, just, put it here. I'll wash it. You are never talking your way out of that. Now, I mean, you can blame Tura boys. You can blame Tura boys by saying that they robbed you. And, but then she's going to have a problem believing that, you ran into Tura boys and then they only stole your shit and left you with an iPhone. So hang on a second, babe. There's something fishy about this story. You're telling me that, Tura boys robbed you, you know, hijacked you and they robbed you. Yes. And the only thing they took, they left your fancy watch. They left your fancy phone. They left your fancy shoes and they only took your shirt. I also thought it was odd. Babe, these boys nowadays, you know, must be the glue they're sniffing. You know, being a Tura boy is like being a witch. Someone runs around, you know, they get themselves STD and then they die, right? From that STD. Everyone is like, no, they witched my daughter. Now, you can't come out and tell them, no, this one is not on us. This is STD. Everyone be like, so you are a witch. So the best you can do is just, well, keep quiet and say, oh, Ben, witchcraft is bad in this society. Really bad. But deep inside, it's aching, really aching. The pain deep inside is unbearable because you really want to say, oh, seriously, this one is not on us. This one is your child's unprotected sexual congress. Oh dear. Don't say that to an African father. They will witch you with, they will witch you with mpinyi. Practically witch you with mpinyi. Why did I bring Kenya in this discussion? Well, it's because this doctor who practiced medicine for 10 years, but then could not come up with a good lie to at least, find a university somewhere in the UK that offers medicine to claim that he acquired his qualifications from there. But last year we were talking about, back in 2023 we were talking about a gentleman known, called Brian Mwenda, who practiced, I think, law for about 7 years, if I'm not mistaken, and never lost a case. Look, I think Africa must come up with its own education system. Because clearly the Western one is not working for us. You can't tell me someone practiced medicine for 10 years. Someone practiced medicine for 10 years. And he was only caught when the medical regulatory authority of Liberia decided to do an audit on medical qualifications of all the medical practitioners in the country. The question now comes to, if we did that in Namibia, how many doctors are we going to find practicing medicine with voters' cards or health passports? Uh-oh. Now, if you are going to lie about getting a qualification from certain institution, at least make sure that that institution offers that field of study or offers that course. Please, because Oga doctor here disappointed me. Eagle FM, who are
you?
Who
200?
Every time I start speaking Afrikaans, Dwight just ends up on the floor laughing. So
you are even better than the guy. So I Oga, you know they read the Bible again in a pidgin. No, they read every day. Make you read one verse in pidgin.
You were listening to that, weren't you?
I will not listen.
Pidgin is a language founded by people having a good time.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So you always laugh. You just, Ghana, which one is there? I dare you. Make it not chop money.
Quick commercial break, Sticky. Commercial break.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you. Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just $300 a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it.
Visit paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always
prepare, Paratus. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom.
No, it's okay. We can continue tomorrow.
On Salmore Prat.
On Salmore Prat by Salmore Prat.
Aha.
It's just a connection of the word. This one. Just like our own language, Zimbabwe and whatever.
Oh.
Okay, what the best name?
All right.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, Afrikaans. I really love to prat the Afrikaans at all. Now, I had a, you know, crush on this other colored girl. I decided to follow her to church because, you know, she's a very church Jesus weapon girl. So when I got there, their pastor said, come on, bet. I was like, hey, hang on a second. You people do betting? Why didn't you tell me this? Now, at this point, I'm pulling out my betting receipts. It turns out the pastor meant let's pray. So I never heard from her again. 2 minutes past the hour of 11. That brings us to the end of our show for today. Until more, same Tate, same, Erf. Erf means place, right? Okay. You know what? Same place, place, same earth, iso van Eagle FM, on Sal Afrikaans, Prat, Vrijdag, More, van Mind the Gap Comedy Show, iso van Eagle FM. Wow, that's a lot of iso. But, yeah, traffic, from traffic officers in the Zambezi region discovering money from traffic offenders, to Angolans discovering cattle in the Kavango East region in Mukwe constituency, to Namibians discovering cars from each other, to public entities failing to submit their procurement plans to the Ministry of Finance. That is what we covered for today. On Sal, continue more. And Iso is a... what's wife in Afrikaans?
She's not
On Sal, Iso is a... May Mefro.
I think so, because I know Mefro is woman.
Oh, really?
Yes, my woman.
Iso is a Mefro. Number two, yeah? And the Sizuma Salicho he follow after this, and the exile out of here he Khan, and Alice have a good day. That's good day, right?
I don't know. You are asking the wrong person here.
All right, Sizuma Salicho, up next. You all stay tuned.
Olium nangeshifa ne wahara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira muhoriki radio station ayo Eagle FM enyamukuro olongaha ningekwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe nohamano. That is 0817147116 mamberewa konorahita tu natu mbali oheta tu vatatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM,
no matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.